My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Jim, big news, dude. I'm going to be participating in Sotheby's first ever hip-hop auction. It's going down September 15th, but as of this recording right now, people could start bidding for items online. And in the description below are going to be hyperlinks to the 8 lots of my stuff that people will be able to bid on. You know, like, I'm pretty precious with the artwork. I sell to sort of private buyers and don't really bring much stuff to comic book conventions to sell very often. But this is an experiment, you know. Like, I have no expectations. When Sotheby's comes calling, I got to say yes.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
It's all an experiment just to see how that whole system works. And so far, it's been pretty fun. When we first recorded this audio, obviously, we had to get this artwork into the hands of the auction house so that they could assess it, so that they could photograph it and get it into the catalog. And now I just have more information as to how things are going to work, how things are going to play out, and figured, why not show, you know, physical examples of the stuff that I'll be putting into the auction.
It may be worth a plug here too, Ed, for the studio edition.
Right.
For the people that aren't necessarily, at a level to bid on this kind of original art, you can get the great reproduction at actual size in that studio edition that Fantagraphics put out recently that's absolutely gorgeous as a book. So, keep that in mind, everybody that's watching us go through this artwork. That would be one way to more or less get access to this stuff up close and personal.
Funny that you mentioned that, Jim. Because kayfabers, stick around for the end of the video, and you'll see copies of that. The studio edition proved very fruitful for this whole process, because when the auction house got in touch, you know, they wanted some stuff, but you know, they were like, "Can you send us scans or whatever?" And I'm like, "How about I send you a PDF, and then you take your pick, whatever you want." So what we're looking at right here. On the left is from Hip Hop Family Tree number 1, just this pinup I did, like a Grandmaster Flash, underneath the streetlight. The streetlight plays an important part in hip hop culture, man. That's where people would plug in and get some free juice so that they could play out on the basketball courts.
That's a great image too, very iconic.
Take a look at the bottom corner when you see the wires go off cam. Like, I forgot, like, oh yeah, I was supposed to have that plugged in to like, I just force for the trees sometimes, man. You just get caught up in all the lines.
Shh, don't tell them that part.
And also, by the way, that Fat Boys splash page, it's like impossible to draw bad outer space, you know? Like, any, put your characters in an outer space setting and the drawing will instantly look good.
It's very flattering to the round shapes as well.
Exactly. That was the whole
planetary bodies.
Exactly, man. And of course, the human beatbox is the size of like a Jupiter. So it's really cool. Like, they said, you know, September 6th, you know, when this thing goes live, in terms of the catalog is accessible, people are going to be able to start bidding. But then on the day of the actual auction, when the gavels come down and the decisions are made, that's going to be September 15th, hard date on that. So, you know, the days leading up, you could start pledging some loot. And on the 15th, the guy with the little hammer is going to be like, okay, well, this piece was bid up to X number. At this point, do I hear X number? I'm not going to be watching.
How could you resist?
Very easily. I'd rather be...
I'll watch for you.
I'd rather
you
be...
You get text from me.
I was playing around with friends and talking about, like, my friends will text me and say congratulations, and my enemies will text me with exact numbers. This is a little LL Cool J piece from, I think, volume 2. And I betray illustrative figure drawing contrapposto, where I have the left arm coming forward and the left leg, and Gary Groth, who practices pugilism, was aghast and said, a guy would never punch on the same leg that's coming forward. And I'm like, dude, he's just a little kid, relax, man. Damn, this page right here reminds me that I'm not allowed to talk about some of the really cool stuff that is going to be a part of the auction yet, because all the contracts are not in right now. They're waiting on like four or five stragglers. But when they told me the names of the participants, it's literally like all of my heroes who are going to, from their own personal collections, who are putting some stuff up for auction. And this is going to be the very first hip-hop auction in any major auction house. Christie's never did it. Heritage never did it. And so Sotheby's is going to be the first go-round.
It's really, that part's really exciting, and it's pretty smooth to let them advise what pieces they want, because they have auctioned comics art, you know, for decades now at this point. So between that and kind of curating this as a special hip-hop auction, it should be interesting to see just overall, like, the entire auction, what they put together.
Yeah, it's a gamble. I'm, you know, hoping that these pieces don't go for $10, but kayfabers, they might, man. So go to that website, sign in, and maybe you'll get, you know, the cover to Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 3 for $100.
I'm going to promise you won't get it. I'll bid it up more than that. But you're right. You never know what this stuff is going to go for. So it's definitely worth checking out. I'm often surprised whenever I see certain pieces and what they go for and think, I should have been watching that.
Yeah. It seems like a very seamless enterprise. You know, like when they first approached me, the image that gets conjured in the mind's eye is like mink coat wearing vacationers who are staying in the most expensive four-star hotel in New York for, you know, beautiful October, and just happening upon, you know, the auction house to bid on some Basquiat paintings or something. But they hold auctions every day, and for any number of things. It's not all Hublot watches.
And a lot of this stuff is, it's investment. And there are people that are there buying this on behalf of someone. It's not even the direct person, necessarily.
Jim, you remind me. Can we get, are any kayfabers out there connected with Forbes magazine, Wall Street Journal, any publications like that where we can do a strategic comics as investment, comic original art as investment articles that seem to come out whenever a Todd McFarlane piece is about right. to go for six figures? Whose palms do we got to grease for that one, huh, Jimmy? And I don't know if what I just said is illegal either, by the way. So just take that as a joke.
Insider trading.
Yeah.
I think you're okay. I think you're probably safe in that front. But you are right. I remember reading articles in Forbes that talk specifically about comics art, you know, as a place to, I guess, invest. It's so scary to think of investing, knowing the history of speculation in comics, but certainly in the art market, that's kind of the history of art.
It's all about speculation. I mean, like, you can almost replace the name art movement with art speculation, because one thing goes for big rates, and then there will be, you know, another show soon after with a bunch of hangers-on doing their, you know, quick and dirty versions of whatever.
Do you know if institutions bid in these kind of auctions? Like, you know, speaking of like art investment and things, that's something I always enjoy when I visit different cities. If you go to the museums, you can kind of see when that city was most affluent based on where the bulk of their collections are. It'd be cool to see these things in museum and institution holdings.
Yeah, for sure. And they do participate in such things. I deal with, let's say, private institutions. And some of these private institutions are going to be donating some things from their collections into this auction. There's going to be like 120 different lots of stuff, and I have 8. You know, it would be good for me if one or two of these private institutions see a piece they like and can't go home without it.
Harvard has a big hip hop collection, right?
They do. Yeah, I visited that. Oh, and you know what? This is going to be one of the sort of big ticket items, right? You know, I did my greatest collaboration working with Public Enemy, Chuck D, Flavor Flav, to make these action figures, right? So you see that plastic bag right there. Like, it's all the character designs, the turnaround sketches, the box kind of thumbnails, and some of the original art that would be kind of on the back of the box. So I'm signing a set of the figures, signed to each of these different pieces. There might be like 10 or 11 different illustrations there, and they're going to sell them as like one unit. That was something that I was very strict about. Like, I don't want to split that up, you know?
That's a cool piece. I used to only like comic book pages, and I have changed over time to where like this kind of stuff is some of my favorite things that I see artists produce. And it's cool to keep it as a set where it really is almost like a short story, or, you know, that complete story in a way. Not a traditional story, obviously, but pretty cool as a complete set.
When I was doing these original designs, there was one part that's digital that obviously can't be a part of this, and it was doing the kind of color design, because I was afforded the opportunity to play with Pantone colors on the action figures and get everything exactly as I wanted. So obviously that part won't be able to be in the auction, but I was so happy with the way this stuff came out. Come on, flip the box around, Ed. Whenever we were coming up with the scale of the figures too, it was like so important to me to make the Chuck D and the flip. Like, I wanted to play with scale. So this guy right here, Terminator X, he needed to be taller than everybody. And then Professor Griff with the beret there, he's a tiny little guy. I remember seeing Public Enemy a couple times, and Griff would come down to the audience, put the mic in front of our face, and he had to reach up to put that shit in front of my mouth, man. But
are those drawings like two up, twice up of the final figure size?
What I ended up doing was just you know, drawing these things as needed. You know, however they were going to come out, they were going to come out, and then I took them in digitally, right, to kind of create my, you know, usual suspects lineup of how I wanted them to be arranged and everything. But Chuck D, Flavor Flav, they are the size of your G.I. Joe Real American Hero action figure, man. So you could put them in any of your vehicles, your Cobra, Night Raven, your Hiss tank. They're going to fit, no problem.
I feel like you need to talk to these guys that build really super cool, like, toy playset photo shoots and set up some of that stuff.
Punker Mike. Punker Mike's out there. He may or may not have even done so before. And by the way, I last count, I have no idea how many pieces are here, but it's going to be, it should be cataloged and very clear. I think that they even have the imagery in a very high resolution, so that, you know, you could get a very accurate understanding of what you're bidding on, because...
Yeah, that makes sense.
There are several ways to place bids, and obviously for COVID reasons, there's not going to be like the in-house bidding that's going to go down. So you could do it online. You could do it right now. You could do it by way of phone. And there's one other way that I can't quite remember. What do you see?
It sounds funny to think of somebody bidding by phone. This is such the future. And it's hip-hop. You imagine like the 73-year-old, like, my mom's bidding by phone.
Right, yeah, exactly. And those are the people that are like, who sit in that little balcony at the opera with the little glasses, you know, that in strategic position where everybody has to watch them and the stage. It's those people who are bidding by phone.
Rotary phone.
Princess phones, man. You remember them shits. That's even a false start Chuck D piece, man. And I think, yeah, that's a false start as well. Like, I did like four or five different Flavor Flaves, and I made sure not to do the one with the Viking helmet, because you know that's the one they would choose from Flavor of Love. Like, there was no way I was going to do that, man. So there were these little versions that I...
Boy, there's some truth in that. Don't present any sketches that you don't want to get greenlit.
Adrian Tomina cracked the code on that in our shoot interview, by the way, and it was something that we should all know, but, you know, I guess the real successful illustrators kept to themselves, and the idea is you turn in all the shitty illustrations early because you know you're going to get feedback, and then 10 minutes before it's a go time, you send them the one that you really want to do, and, you know, you can move forward that way. If you look up in the top corner at the actual box, you could see how these roughs are interpreted in the final illustration, and then that's just like the general design of where the colors are going to go, making sure that I section off the back part of the box like in equal measure.
How fun is package design?
First time really doing it, you know, like thinking in 3D is sort of new for you know, a cartoonist who's working on that flat surface and as close to 3D as I get. Oh, look, that's a half of Magneto's visor because I was working on, you know, whatever page that was in the first grand design that day as well. But thinking in 3D is definitely, you know, takes some getting used to. Even putting together the template digitally for them to use, it's like, well, where does the top go? Where does the bottom go? Like, how does this thing fold up? Like, you know, I'm not an industrial design engineer. So, you know, give me some kind of template or feedback. But this does represent, like, my favorite collaboration ever. You know, I rarely do it. And when Hip Hop Family Tree came out, a lot of newer rappers were inquiring about album covers. And I just, you know, I wasn't into their music or anything like that. And I didn't need the money at that moment. But when Public Enemy came calling, I mean, you could probably even speak to it. For the first probably 5-10 years we knew each other, the only t-shirts I had were Public Enemy shirts.
That is true.
And 10 years before that, the only t-shirts I wore were like Public Enemy t-shirts, because this is like one of the most important groups to me.
Ed, you mentioned collaboration on this project. What kind of like feedback notes, input were you getting?
Zero, pretty much. They wanted to change some of the lyrics on the side of the package. And there was like a third party, just like at the toy company, who had certain ideas about like the figure design, like the costume for like Flav, for instance. But it was very seamless.
Yeah, I don't see like the million iterations or you know, slight changes.
Yeah, no,
that sometimes mark a certain type of collaboration.
You get very nervous when you're working with like a celebrity, someone well known. You could bet your bottom dollar that they have certain vanity and a certain ego, and you're gonna have to, you know, do a lot of adjustment. But none of that with the dudes from Public Enemy. You see the back of the box there? Yeah. Like, that's where these illustrations are coming from. And my idea was to try to, like, approximate, like, those shitty Remco toys that would maybe splurge for two colors, usually one or zero, or just, you know, black ink on cardboard. And it just, like, added to the...
Yeah.
To the cheesiness. This is going to be my big ticket item. This is the one that, like, if it sells, I'm going to be super thrilled. And if it doesn't, because I put a reserve on it, then no sweat, because I'm sure I'll be able to get what I want for it at a certain day. I didn't put a reserve on anything else, but this one to me is kind of special. It was the Free Comic Book Day wraparound cover, and then I used it for the second box set. The way it came about was real funny, because Eric Reynolds hit me up on a Friday and was like, dude, we need the finished cover by like Monday. And he's like, I'm sorry, because he thought we were going to have a lot more time. So of course, like, I go back to the studio and I'm trying to think of an idea and I can't come up with anything and I have no time to work on it. So of course, as I'm going through boxes, I come across 11 Rockets 50. And I see that and I'm like, okay, I have no time. So why not fucking draw 50 people on the cover, you know, and try to do, you know, reasonable likenesses and junk.
That's a great piece. And it really highlights the variety of this lot. You know, right. The stuff that you sent, like going from like covers to comic book pages to those toy designs and to this piece. That's a really attractive variety.
Yeah, like, that was, I think, intentional. We wanted to have a little representation of a lot of stuff, because there's no history for myself in an auction setting, and really very little history for hip-hop paraphernalia in a major auction house. That's one of the things that they're trying to do. There's many categories, and they want to get a good representation to fill each of these categories, because they need to get some kind of, like, baseline understanding of what people are looking for. So from floor to ceiling, it's an experiment that they're trying. I think it's going to go very well as a whole. Once again, I'm holding zero expectations for this, because I will be pleasantly surprised no matter what happens. I'm not watching the thing. I can't deal with the anxiety. I'll probably go in bike riding that whole time.
And, that's the only way I would be able to avoid it, is like I would have to be away from the ability to watch it, is the only way I could avoid watching it.
I'm already planning, you know. Ah, there it is, Jim. The affordable version of all of this original artwork, including those action figure designs. We put out the Ed Piskor Studio Edition at the beginning of this year, right when COVID hit, and I still have to do just a proper video to show off the book, because I did not feel right promoting a big book like this when we're all locked down and not leaving the house, and, you know, people are laid off and junk like that, you know? But it's a book I'm very proud of. All the artwork that we just kind of passed through is in there, because this is a, you know, I sent the master PDF to the auction house and just like let them kind of take their pick. So the book is available on Fantagraphics website, of course. The online bidding for the auction can happen right now. There's links in the description below this video. The hammers come down, the gavels come down on each of the lots on September 15th. I believe that part of the process starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's that. So, kayfabers, on top of everything we just discussed today, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We can notify you when new videos are available.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe merchandise and t-shirts at the links below this video.
Jimmy, now that we're hooked in with these bourgeois auction houses, man, we need to go set up the Cartoonist Kayfabe auction at Sotheby's, man. Give these guys their marching orders.
Read more comics.